These are the first Xbox-branded handhelds, the ROG Xbox Ally and the ROG Xbox Ally X. They're both powerful handhelds, but the moment you use the word Xbox in the product's name and the packaging with the Xbox green coloring, it comes with two expectations. The first is that the game experience that's delivered should be something that's effortless and just casual friendly. It should be like an Xbox console. But the other thing it comes with is the expectation or the perception that the price point would be in that massively accessible price point where full consoles are like $400 or $500 tops. And at first glance, it seems that maybe this might fit it because the base model Xbox Ally starts at $600, but there's a lot going on here. All right, let's break it down. When you first boot these devices up, they look and smell like Windows. It is not very Xbox-like. It's got this white Windows 11 background and all the typical Windows 11 prompts. And for an Xbox product, I really feel like these prompts shouldn't be there, but Windows is gonna Windows. But after about 15, 20 minutes of setup, you are up and running, and it's not bad. It does, in fact, feel very Xboxy once it's all set up, and it boots into a full screen Xbox UI. So these run a custom version of Windows 11 that doesn't load the Windows background, the desktop, the taskbar. It supposedly saves around 2 gigs of memory. From my measurements, at least on these units here, it saves about 1 to 1.5 gigs. It's not massive amounts, but every little bit helps when you have like a 16 gigabyte memory system. But this UI looks and feels kind of similar to the Xbox console, where you boot it up and then within seconds of browsing around, you can jump into a game. You also have access to the Xbox Game Pass selections. Both of these devices, so the Xbox Ally X and the regular Xbox Ally, come with Xbox Game Pass Premium for 3 months. It's their mid-tier offering. It's worth about $15 a month. I would have loved to have seen their higher tier offering, like the Ultimate product. I think that's $30 a month, but that gives you day one access and just more titles to play with. I really wish they'd bundled that with these two devices, particularly the more expensive X products. But yeah, you can access this in the UI along with their cloud gaming and their store offerings. But the big thing here is the game library. And in this library, you'll see all of the games that you have installed, including games that are from Steam. So Steam came pre-installed on this device. And when you want to install or play any Steam games, you just launch it in the background. But once you install and set up a game, it will appear in your library and you'll be able to tell which games are Game Pass games, which are Steam or GOG or Epic games. And they'll all appear in here with their own little icon in the corner that tells you which library it's from. And they run directly from the Xbox UI, which they actually call the Xbox full screen experience. So I want to draw your attention to this app switching capability. So if you long press the Xbox button, long press it like that, it's basically like alt tabbing on a PC, and you will see all the different things that you have open. And if you'll notice on the bottom left area here, well, the bottom middle, it says Xbox full screen experience. And so basically, when you boot up into this system for the very first time, it will be in this Xbox full screen experience because it didn't load the Windows background, taskbar, desktop, etc. It's in this like exclusive custom kind of gaming environment. But if you want to go into the Windows desktop environment, you do want to load like your desktop, you hit that. And now you are in the Windows desktop. But in doing so, I've now loaded all that stuff into memory. And if I want to remove it or like purge my memory of this Windows background stuff, you got to reboot the system. There is no immediate way right now to purge the Windows desktop from the memory. So this app switcher, when you're in the Xbox FSE, is very nice. It's like a very responsive and fast way to switch between stuff. And I love that you can instantly close apps by just like pressing the X button. You can just see, it says closer. You just hit X and it's gone. There's no waiting. There's no like pop-up or prompt that says like, are you sure you want to close? It's like, you want to close, it's done. So you can do it with games and apps and it's immediate. It's faster than Alt F4. It's like, bang, it's gone. So the device works really well playing and switching between Steam games, but occasionally when I exited a Steam game, there would be glitches where it would lose the focus of the controller. And the solution would be relatively easy. You hold into the app switcher and you just fiddle around, it would come back. But for people like you and I, if you're watching this tech video, like you're probably comfortable with this, right? It's not a huge stretch to figure it out. But for some people who weren't born in the blue screen of death, like if you're like a kid that just grew up on consoles and you pick up an Xbox product thinking that it would be an Xbox experience, this is like very frustrating. You would sit there just like, you wouldn't know what to do. And I think for a lot of people, there's little quirks and little things that happen on this Windows-based device that would just take away from the user experience. Now, I think a lot of it can be fixed with software, and it's very early on in the launch right now, but there's little things like the updates. This is another one that really like puzzles me. There, when I first got this device in, I set it up and I did all the Windows updates and I was like, okay, I'm gonna start benchmarking it. It was only the next day, it was like a full day later that something popped in my brain. I was like, wait a minute, there's typically another series of updates you gotta do that's within ArmorCrate. So buried within the software, like the ASUS software, is another layer of like BIOS and firmware things. I had to redo all my benchmarks, but I realized this shouldn't be the case on an Xbox branded product. Like, I think there's so many people out there who would not, they just wouldn't expect that, to have two separate areas where you have to go into and update separate from each other. And there's also your typical Windows quirks, like the lock screen when you boot up is just ugly and not fitting for an Xbox product. Like, it should be an Xbox lock screen, not your regular lame-ass Windows lock screen. Like, that feels off right off the rip. And also, there's multiple areas to adjust your screen brightness and volume controls, and also comes with Microsoft Teams and OneDrive and OneNote and like Microsoft Recall, all that stuff pre-installed. I understand this is a Windows system, so there are people that would use it, but it should be optional, right? I think the average person buying an Xbox handheld just wants it to play games, not all the other stuff. And the ArmoryCrate software is a little bit confusing. Like, the Xbox button launches the Xbox full screen experience, but then the ArmoryCrate button launches a widget within that full screen experience that is like the typical ASUS ArmoryCrate where you can control all your kind of tweaks and settings. This, it just feels disconnected. I feel like, again, an Xbox product would have all of this stuff in one super clean UI that's cohesive, but it's not. Now, I will say that the Xbox team has done a very good job in terms of making a Xbox experience that is familiar and inviting to use, but Windows is Windows. And no matter what you do to this, because it is running Windows in the background, eventually the Windows-ness of this product bubbles up here and there. And for some people, that burden of Windows is a lot, but ultimately, I think it comes down to the fact that this is branded an Xbox product. And because of that, the expectations are very high and just different from anything else out there on the market. Now, I want to zoom out for a little bit and talk about the controls, because these are really well done this year. Even the PIN code buttons on the login were mapped onto the D-pad and buttons. So it's very easy to get in with that PIN code. The control also works well with the UAC prompts whenever those pop up, and you can just navigate the entire UI and play all your games without ever using the touchscreen. The controller integration is fantastic this time around. And I think because of that, that already is a massive step in the direction of what handhelds should have always been in the Windows experience. But again, once in a while, there's that hiccup and it just takes you away from that perfect experience. And I call it perfect, but that's the standard, right? If you're an Xbox user and you bought this thing because of the Xbox label, you'd expect it just be like, that's just how they always work. But sometimes it doesn't quite live up to the Xbox name. Now, the controller itself, I really like the feel of it. So they've improved all of the elements of the controller. I switched over to the white wedges, you guys see it a little bit better on the camera. But they have new sticks, new buttons, new D-pad, new triggers. Everything is just like slightly tweaked, and it all feels awesome. So the sticks feel great. They're a little bit taller than the previous generation. There's a nice grip on the top. The D-pad feels good. I've always liked the RG Ally D-pads, but the biggest change to the controls this year is without a doubt the ergonomics, because that is like the visual change, right? When you see, this is also just the black one, but when you see the comparison of the previous generation of RG Ally versus the new one, like when I first saw this thing, I was like, this is so ugly, but it feels awesome in hand. And the more I use it, the more I like it. In fact, I like this more than I like the Steam Deck ergonomics. I've always said that Steam Deck nailed the feel of this device, but I think the RG Xbox Allies are even better. Now, both models are heavier than the Steam Deck, the X version being the heaviest of the two. But even after a couple weeks of testing, I really like how these feel in extended use. For case options, this is the one from ASUS. It's really big. And then there's the Kill Switch from Dbrand. All right, let's talk performance. So the white one, the regular Xbox Ally, this runs the Z2A chip. It's the weaker chip of the two devices, and this runs older Zen 2 architecture. The performance here is similar to the Steam Deck. Think Steam Deck, but with a little bit more room on the top end. The black one, the RG Xbox Ally X, the more powerful one, runs the Z2 Extreme chip. And this runs Zen 5 architecture. It's a strong performer for a PC handheld, but the biggest strength is in the performance you get at lower wattages. This is where the chip really shines and where it does a lot better than the Z1 Extreme chip from the previous generation. So the marketing from Xbox and Asus is that the white one is built for 720p gaming, and then the black one with the stronger chip is built for 1080p gaming. And based on the frame rates that I'm seeing, I think it's a reasonable way to pitch them, but there are a bunch of heavier AAA titles that just don't run very well, even at 720p on the Z2 A chip. It's just not built for this type of system. The other thing, the heat and fan noise. Both of these are very quiet in games. The Xbox Ally X with its more powerful chip does run a little bit hotter and goes a little bit louder, but I would definitely call them quiet systems. There's no proper quick resume yet. I think they are working on it, but in its current state, it's just Windows sleep slash hibernate, which isn't all that reliable. The battery on both of them is good, all things considered. The bigger one on the Xbox Ally X is 80 watt hours. The white one has 60 watt hours. I do think these will get a little bit better with software updates, particularly on the Z2 Extreme device. Now, looking at the internals, these both have full-size NVMEs, and they both actually have very similar heat pipes between the two models. It's just a different mounting bracket to accommodate the different size chips. The display up front hasn't changed from the previous generation. It's not OLED, the bezels are relatively thick, but it's still objectively a very good screen. And I think one of the reasons why the price point is where it is and not even more expensive is because they didn't change the panel on this thing. Real quickly, the USB-C ports on the Z2 Extreme version, like the black higher-end version, does support external GPUs because it's USB-4, and you can get some crazy performance with that external GPU, but you gotta pay an even crazier price tag to be able to obtain it. Okay, let's talk about pricing. So, the price point of these two products is something that popped up immediately the moment this thing even was announced, because, again, the Xbox branding, the moment you have that name, Xbox, there's this perception that it should be priced at a certain affordable price point. And there's an expectation that the company, particularly Microsoft, is gonna subsidize this product so that it's not so expensive, so that they can sell it for a little bit lower and then just make the money back up in game sales or Game Pass sales. That is not the case. This is not subsidized, at least to the best of my knowledge, by Microsoft. And this is something that is priced very strangely for an Xbox product. So if you look at the price of what this thing is compared to just, I don't know, the consoles out there, for the price to performance, this is not good. I think anyone who's looked at Xbox pricing and seen like, okay, you get this kind of frame rate with this Xbox product, you look at this, this is like $200 or $300 more expensive than it should be in the perfect Xbox subsidized world. But because it's not, this is now in the territory of like a regular Windows handheld pricing. Now, if you compare it with other Windows handhelds, this is actually what I would consider fair pricing. It's definitely cheaper than the new Legion handhelds, and this product class does go on sale pretty aggressively, but it's still a $1,000 gaming handheld. Now, the thing that surprised me is that the pre-orders for this one, the Xbox Ally X, just popped off. This thing sold out almost immediately, and this is now backordered until November, like the middle of November. This is a $1,000 gaming handheld. And as nice as it is, as much as I appreciate it, I'm like, this is so expensive. Who is buying this stuff? But apparently there's a big enough market that it's a thing. People like it. Now, the way that I look at it is this. I think this product is like aimed at the enthusiast. I think that if you know what you're getting into, and I think people that are looking at a $1,000 gaming handheld, they're experienced, they know what they're getting into, they know what they're signing up for. So this, I think, will deliver the experience that people are expecting. This one, however, the $600 unit, my suspicion is that this will be returned a lot. I think people will think it's an Xbox product and it'll get home, they'll try it out, and it'll be not Xbox enough. It's a good device that I think gets even better with time as the software updates for it hit, but I think a lot of people just don't view it in the right light. And that is the curse of using that name in the product. It's like, if it's an Xbox product, it's got to be an Xbox experience. Okay, there you have it, the new ROG Xbox Allies.